chapter 12 of John. Previously, Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, had died. The sisters of him, Martha and Mary, had called Jesus and told him he was ill. But Jesus had delayed for 2 days coming to see him. Finally, he did go, and he raised him from the dead. But the sisters were very upset over this. This was a friend. He was a real loyal friend of theirs. And yet, why should Jesus leave him 2 weeks ill until he dies? And they were both upset. We don't know how the sisters really felt about Jesus not coming sooner, but Martha was always the busy lady, always doing things, always rushing around. And I think she was very angry at his delay. And like the disciples in the boat, when the storm came, I could hear her saying, "Lord, don't you care? This is your friend. Don't you care, Lord?" I could see her anger at this delay. Martha was one of these women who walked with Jesus. She supported him, and she was probably quite wealthy. A woman always kept busy, and we first meet her in Luke chapter 10. Again, Jesus is visiting her house, and Martha is rushing around, cleaning the house, cleaning the windows, getting the food ready, making a cup of tea. And Mary is just quietly sitting there at the feet of Jesus. And again, Martha calls out, "Lord, don't you care? She's not helping me at all." And the Lord simply replies, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. And only one thing is necessary. She has chosen the best place, and it won't be taken from her." Okay, lovely lady. The meal, Martha decides now to make a meal, a big celebration to thank Jesus. And so she prepares this meal. She does all the cooking. She runs around getting the right spices that she wants to use. She invites all the people in, and she's just busy, 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 which is her place. But now the meal is ready, and the guests that are really honored are Lazarus and Jesus. And lots of people are coming now to see Jesus. There's lots of talk. There's lots of buzzing going on in this house. And they're all saying to Jesus, "Where have you been? What miracles have you done lately? Where are you going? Will you go to the Passover?" And they're asking him, "Lazarus, what was it like when you were dying? And now you're alive. How does it feel?" So there's lots of buzz and happiness going on, lots of laughter. And Martha begins to serve the meal. But nobody misses Mary. Nobody at all misses Mary. And then suddenly Mary comes in, very quietly, holding a jar. It was the essence of nard. This was a very expensive perfume, about a year's worth of money. And it was usually used for burials. Slowly, she sits at Jesus' feet. And amongst all this loud noise, and then she suddenly starts to lift the lid. And as she lifts the lid off this box, the perfume just fills the whole atmosphere. And suddenly people start to smell it and think, "I wonder, where's that coming from?" And their gaze starts to turn to Mary, and they see her with this open box, the essence of nard. And they know that she's got it for Jesus' burial, but she's opened it. And then they watch her as she slowly kneels at the feet of Jesus. Very quietly, she doesn't say anything, all the time looking at him, gazing at this Lord she loves. And then she does something extraordinary, because she lifts up this jar, and she suddenly tips it over. And they watch as this oil seeps down, and she's just holding it, waiting for it to empty, all of it. And it comes down onto the feet of Jesus. And as they watch, she grabs her hair and she pulls it round and she leans forward. She slowly wipes the feet of Jesus, gazing at him every now and again and smiling. And he smiles back. And now the whole room is just quiet, watching. A picture of pure adoration of her Lord. Nothing was too good for her. She just stays there at his feet. And everybody's transfixed. The whole room is silent. Suddenly, the silence is broken. Someone is shouting, "What a waste of money! Why wasn't this all sold for the poor?" And these turn now, and there is Judas Iscariot. He was one of the very first disciples to be chosen. And he'd been given a very important job, treasury. The disciples, when they had any money, they had to give it to him. He would look after it. It was a very special job. But here he's so angry. Why is he angry? Something has gone terribly wrong with him. He had begun to sin by stealing the money. Now his greed for money had possessed him. Seeing this oil now poured out on Jesus' feet, he shouts out, "The oil should have been sold and the money given to the poor." But he didn't care for the poor. He couldn't care about the poor. He was just angry because that money wasn't put into the treasury and he could have got a lot more money out for himself. He hated it being used for Jesus. His love for money had taken over of the place of his love for his Lord. So much soon that soon he would sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. There's three reactions here now about people's love for Jesus. First of all, we have Martha. And Martha shows her love by her duty. It's a bit of a head knowledge one. She knows it all. And she wants to do everything to please Jesus. Whatever it takes, she will do. She will cook, she will clean, she will shop, she will do anything he asks her. But she doesn't give her heart. It's all about head knowledge and doing for him. And in ministry, we can get very much like that. We can be busy putting the chairs out for the church, calling the people out, sending out leaflets, all this. So busy, and yet we forget why we're doing it. That's Martha. Then we get Mary. Mary is totally, absolutely absorbed with her Lord. She can't wait to sit at his feet and hear him. She can't wait to talk to him. In fact, she doesn't mind if she talks. She will just sit eye to eye with Jesus, gazing at each other. She is in love, and it will never stop. It just grows and grows. Then we get Judas. Judas, who started off being a friend of Jesus, one of his disciples, and because sin has now come into his life, he's now begun to despise his Lord. Question: how much do you love the Lord? How much do I love the Lord? In Matthew, we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We're told to be living sacrifices on the altar, to give out everything we have, to devote ourselves to him. But there's also a warning here, the warning of temptation of sin. The warning of that, the temptation of sin by stealing a changed Judas. We're told out. We are told to watch out for the enemy, the devil, the prowler who roams around looking for someone to devour. And people think it's a bit of a joke, the devil. But he's real. He's as real as Jesus is. And he does roam around seeing who can catch out. And what happens is, we need to heed this warning. Sin can open the door to the devil. One tiny little sin, it started with Judas. One tiny little bit of money, not much. But it opened the door and the devil got his foot in. And because it wasn't shut straight away, he carried on sinning. And slowly his relationship with Jesus got wider and wider. The warning is your relationship cooler now than it was last year? Is there something in your life, nothing big, but something that isn't right, that you've allowed and you keep allowing it, and you can hear Jesus say, get rid of it. It's in the way of me and you. Get rid of it. Stop warning. Okay. The next day, many followed Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. A large crowd of Passover visitors take palm branches and sing part of Psalm 118. Save now, O Lord. Praise God. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail the King of Israel. We've just sang it ourselves. Hail the King of Israel. Jesus finds a donkey and mounts the donkey to ride. Don't be afraid, people of Israel. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. And people now are beginning to believe. Maybe, just maybe, he is the Messiah. Could he be the one that we're waiting for? Sorry, I've got to get this all right here. The people praising God had the wrong idea. Though God had given them, they thought God had given them a king. That Jesus would be a national leader who would restore the nation of Israel to its former glory. But they were wrong. And when it becomes apparent this is not the case, many again turn away from Jesus. But those who knew Lazarus had been dead and raised from the grave began to continue spreading this message. The Pharisees now think all is lost, that they're never ever going to stop these people coming to Jesus. But this devotion to Jesus is short-lived. In a few days, they'd do nothing to stop his crucifixion. And many would be now shouting, crucify him! Crucify him, and hounding him for his life. Now I need to read some more out of the Bible now. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went on to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went together to Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. Jesus says, now my heart is troubled. I am upset. But he's not upset because he's going to Calvary. He's upset that it means, because he will be taking on the sins of the world, there will be a separation of him to the Father. He knows about all the physical death. He's not worried about all of that. But he is worried about the separation from his Father. And he's distressed about it. a voice comes from heaven. I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do it again. Jesus goes on to say the time for judging has come, and the devil will be cast out. Now, he says, anyone can come to me. Anyone can come to me. Saying this was not only for the Jews, but no matter where we are from, what color of our skin, any and all who seek Jesus will be welcome. Jesus goes on to say he will not be with them very long. And after this, he goes away. It's a message for all of us to find out where we stand with our Lord. If you're here this morning, you're also here for a purpose. You're here because he's your Lord in some sort of way. But the time is short and he's coming back. And many people think he will be here within the next 7 years. If you're his, truly his, he will take you back to heaven with him. But the question is, are you truly his? It's not about saying the words, because the words don't matter. Educated or uneducated, you just need to tell him how much you love him and that you want him and that you need him. And there's no shame in that. He doesn't look down on anybody, but anybody who calls is welcome. And he will set you free. Your life will change. It will never be the same again. And the moment you do accept him as your Lord and Saviour, you're on your way to heaven. So whether you die that moment or 3 years' time, it doesn't matter. But we all need to make certain he is our Lord and serve him. Amen.